Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Those creatures are here. They can take your soul.
It was a man, but he didn't look human.
That is scary.
They have like pointed ears, sharp teeth.
Seems like she's possessed sometimes.
A lot of pain in this room.
I live in constant fear. We're being haunted.
What is going on here? You're mine. You can't escape.
My name is Amy Allen.
What's happening?
I see dead people. It seems like a double. I speak to dead people. He's pissed off, and they speak to me. I felt real fear. But there's only one way to know if my findings are real.
I think she's being murdered.
I rely on my partner.
I'm Steve DiShavi. I'm a retired New York City homicide detective.
Serial killer pops in my head.
And I know every person, every house has secrets.
Nobody believes me.
It's my job to reveal them.
Do you think there's still bodies there?
I do.
But Steve and I never speak.
We never communicate during an investigation.
Until the very end.
You got problems. I got news for you.
When we uncover if it's safe for you to stay.
This is our house, whether they like it or not.
Or time to get out.
This is their house, the house of the dead.
I'm in the heart of the Rust Belt, Toledo, Ohio. I'm heading over to meet with a woman named Angie. She says everyone in the family's being affected. They're being pushed, scratched, burnt, and even molested. When I heard this on the phone, I got upset, and I'm really hoping we can help her out.
Before Amy arrives, I look for any leading information. This house is filled with photos and religious symbols. Once they're covered or removed, the location will be ready for tonight's walk.
What the hell? There's a male here who knows how it used to be and is disturbed. So he's very much functioning in that reality. And he's angry, he's pissed. There's something wrong with his head. The head pain is so bad.
So, Angie, I'm glad I'm here because you sounded pretty upset on the phone. So just give me an idea what's happening.
We've been here about 12 years.
Okay.
Shortly after we moved in is when the activity started. At first, it just started out as noises. It increased to apparitions. It's getting now to the point where it's getting violent. We've had a couple of episodes where we've been burned. We've been scratched. We've been pushed. We've been shoved. I live in constant fear here.
Who do you live here with?
I live here with my partner, Leslie.
Okay.
My daughter, Maggie, and my 2-year-old grandson, Nathan.
Oh, he's precious.
It seems like it got worse after he was born.
Is he being affected by this?
He is. We were sitting in the living room watching TV. He was sitting on the floor playing with his toys, and we seen him literally lift up off the ground and was shoved a good foot and a half. I fear greatly for him because he's unable to protect himself, and I feel like we can't protect him either.
Why don't you just move?
We're into it financially. We put all of our money into buying this home, and we can't afford to move.
Do you know any history of the house at all?
Me personally, no. I don't know any history of the house.
Have you ever had paranormal activity prior to moving into this house?
Never. I was never a believer.
What about now?
I believe it wholeheartedly. We're being haunted.
There's something here.
And it came in through the front door. These things, they look like little demons. And they're getting too out of hand. That's what this older dude was saying. And he says, I can't handle that. I can't get involved in that. I can't do anything about that. Things have just gotten too bad. He can't fight anymore because they're gonna get him. They can take your soul. That's kind of weird.
Okay, what's going on in here?
I've seen various apparitions in here. There was an older gentleman I seen in here wearing kind of like a suit, grayish hair. He startles me at first, but he doesn't seem threatening.
Okay, what time period do you think he's from?
I would say early 1900s.
If you saw a photo, would you be able to identify him?
I would.
No, what else are you seeing in here?
One time in the stairwell, there was an apparition of a little boy.
Can you describe him?
He appeared to have been in a fire. He had a burnt face. Burnt arms.
Now, Angie, I got to do my due diligence and ask questions you're not going to like, but right. Medications, alcohol abuse, anything that may cause you to hallucinate and see these things.
No, sir. And I seen one other one.
What's that?
This one bothers me because it really scared me. It was a man, but he didn't look human. He was in the mirror. He had two horns off the top of his head. Big teeth, I would say at least 6 foot. And I seen him kind of let out a growl and it came right at me, poof, right through me. And I immediately broke out into tears. Felt like I was gonna faint. I was sick to my stomach.
That scared the shit out of you.
It did. All I can tell you, Steve, it was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Those demons.
They are very weird looking. They kind of have like bat faces. They have like pointed ears, big eyes, sharp teeth, kind of centered on this female.
Okay, what's going on in here?
I've had things move around in the room. I've had my glasses moved.
You sure it's not your grandson maybe playing games or just moving stuff on you?
Probably not. He's two. And, well, most of it's up high, the stuff that's moved. And I put my glasses up high, so no, it's not him.
All right. Anything else?
I was laying in bed sleeping one night, and I had a physical presence come over me. I felt like I was being pinned to the bed. My shirt was pulled up around my chest area.
Okay.
I felt like I was being physically assaulted at the moment.
Talk about sexually assaulted?
Yes, sir. I just remember feeling violated. I was just crying.
Okay, so how long did it last?
It seemed like it lasted forever, but I started praying.
Okay.
And within a couple of minutes, it stopped.
There's a lot of things that went on up here. There's like panic. Oh, jeez. I am seeing a woman. She's being physically attacked by nothing, like dragged. What the f*** is going on here? She's not the only one. This is like one of the worst rooms.
What?
There's definitely an agent here who's very unhappy and not stable and lashing out. It's a poltergeist.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Magda was talking to Mom. And she was telling me about everything that's going on in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is your son's room.
Yes.
Apparently, your mom said she actually saw him get picked up and kind of thrown or pushed.
Yeah, it has happened. He was playing in his room. I was cleaning up, and I heard him hit the ground. And when I came into his room, he was flat on his back, and his face was bloodshot red.
Now, was there anything he could have jumped off of?
No. He wasn't climbing on anything. He didn't trip over anything. As a mother, I know his cries, and it was definitely something I've never heard before.
Okay, so this was a terrifying cry.
Yeah, this was, he wanted to get out of here. Something scared him.
Okay, anything else going on up here?
Yeah, actually, one day it was just me and him here, and I came up to check on him. He was leaning out of his window, throwing his toys out, and this window is never unlocked. There's no way he could unlock the window. He can't even open doors like doorknobs. I got really scared because he could have easily fallen out.
And you said it's always locked?
It's locked right now.
So who would have unlocked it?
It's only me and him here, and I definitely didn't do it.
But it was closed when you last saw it?
Oh, yeah.
And there was nobody else around?
Nope.
That's a problem.
This is not good. There might be someone here at a very young age figured out that they were capable of manipulating their environment. And those are why those creatures are here. There's a relationship there between this thing and this living person. The older man was trying to stop this. Then it changed, and then now there's more. There's more of them.
Leslie, I was talking to your partner, Angie, and I spoke to her daughter, Maggie. They seem pretty upset about the things that are happening here.
Yes.
I mean, she's your partner.
Yes.
I mean, she looks like she's taking it hard.
Yeah, she does. Hard on her, and it makes it hard on me to watch her go through some of the stuff.
Right.
The fighting, and it's just, it's hard.
The mood swings.
Especially Maggie.
Nothing.
I swear she seems like she's possessed sometimes. It's angry and mean and hateful she gets. I don't like the drama. Just want everything to go back to normal.
Well, that brings me to a question I have for you. I mean, Dave, everybody's experienced something. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, like what?
My cross on my neck got ripped off and thrown across the floor.
You mean like you had a necklace?
Yes.
And it came off, ripped off your chest?
Ripped off, yes, broke. Thrown across the hardwood floor and slit. It was strange.
Strange, it's a little bit scary.
Yeah. Though.
Was anybody else home?
No.
So what'd you wind up doing when that happened? Did you get your cross again?
Yeah, I sure did. I picked it back up and I said, you think you broke it? You didn't, because I got another clasp I can put it on, and I stuck it back on another one.
I mean, I don't know what my partner's going to say, but she may tell you that whatever's here, you can't fix. You got to get the hell out of here. Yep. I mean, how would you feel about that?
I'd probably get the hell out of here.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
There's the battle. There's just this battle going on between the living and these things.
Do you know what these things are?
I don't believe they were ever alive. I guess you would call them, like, some kind of demons. They're kept out. They can be kept at bay because they respond to religion. But it doesn't matter because the poltergeist is always here. There's a lot of pain in this room. A lot of pain in this room. The living, they're fighting and they're crying and it never stops. These people, what they're doing to each other, it's awful. I can't stand it anymore.
Would you say it's dangerous for the living to be here?
The house isn't the issue.
What is?
They are.
They who?
The living people.
Angie didn't know any history about a home, so I made a few calls. And a retired homicide detective tells me a famous criminal used to live there.
He did some research into it for me, and he found some information he says will definitely help my investigation.
Well, Bob, thanks for meeting me. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Now, you mentioned on the phone there was an actual criminal that lived in the property I'm investigating.
Right. Yes, there was. Clarence Brown had moved into that home with his family. He was young. He was 17 at the time in 1930. Of course, the Depression hit the family real bad, and they lost most of everything they had, even though they'd had a lucrative printing business. Clarence especially took it pretty hard. He didn't think the government put enough money into the local economy, and he was going to do his part to help out, and he got this idea about counterfeiting bills. He kind of felt like he was a Robin Hood. Here's a picture of him. He was just a clean-cut, ordinary-looking kid, you know.
Now, was he operating out of the house I'm investigating?
He operated out of the house, and then I guess part of it moved over to the family printing business across the river on Huron Street.
How big of an operation are we talking about?
Well, they got to the point of being considered international. There was a lot of their money showing up in Indiana, Michigan, the surrounding states, Illinois, even into Windsor, Canada.
So who was all involved? Was it just this guy Clarence, or was
Well, no, Clarence and Sherman, his dad and his brother, and two other associates.
Okay, so he basically ran it?
Yes, he did.
So what happens next?
Eventually, he got caught. They were busted in 1935. They raided the Huron Street plant and seized probably $20,000 there and a bunch of equipment.
Okay.
That led them over to the house that you're looking into on the east side. Got another $6,000 there and a lot of equipment.
A lot of money back. That's a lot of money today.
Yeah, and today's figures would be about $340,000.
Now, when all said and done, how many people got arrested?
There were five.
Five?
Total, yes.
Okay. So
it was Clarence, his father, Sherman, okay, brother, Lewis, and two other associates. But when it came to trial, according to this article here, Clarence took the heat for the entire family. And got a 3.5-year sentence, and he did about 2.5 years.
The older male, I feel very much involved with the structure.
Do you know anything about what he was like in life?
I would say that he was a no bull kind of guy. I would guess that he might have been like a boss, because he's very much like, this is what's going on, this is what we're doing, this is what's happening.
Does the old man interact with the living?
I think he's tried talking to them. He's definitely trying to keep these demons at bay. I think he was also trying to give warnings about what's going on. Like, I see him talking to somebody laying in bed, trying to explain things to them.
So he gets sentenced to 3.5 years. He does 2.5 and he gets out.
Right.
Okay, does he go back to counterfeiting? I mean, what's he do?
No, he give up the counterfeiting, move back into your client's house. His mom lived there, too. He got a job at a local printing shop, and then he got married in 1940. And this was the wedding of Clarence and his wife. And him and his wife had 3 little boys.
Okay, so what happens to this guy?
Well, things went real bad in 1948 initially when his mother died. It hit him pretty hard. Kind of started into a downward spiral mentally.
Did she die in the house?
She died at home. I have the death certificate here.
Okay, so cerebral hemorrhage is, so it's a natural cause.
Right.
So what happens after that?
Things started spiraling downhill. He was developing real paranoia. He was convinced the government was out to get him. They were spying on him. He had pretty much alienated his wife and sons. It got so bad that she actually had him committed. They used electroshock therapy on him, which apparently didn't help, and it got so bad that she eventually had him committed to a mental institution, where he spent the last 26 years of his life, dying at age 83. This guy was the leader of a pretty good-sized operation early on in his life, and he died wasted down to nothing.
This guy is sick.
Do you know how he died?
Something with his head. He had a lot of pain in his head, that's all I know. He was sick for a long time, I know that. This is so thick, I don't know how they even stay here.
So far, I've uncovered a major counterfeit ring tied to my client's property, where the previous owner was committed to a mental institution. But I need to see if there's anything else. Searching through old archives, I find something I didn't expect. A deadly explosion that happened in 1898, right down the street from my client's house. I've called on a local reporter who says it was one of the worst accidents in Toledo's history.
This explosion I came across, what exactly happened?
So there was the Union Railroad, which had a grain elevator. Here it is right here. On the night of September 21st, 1898, 25 people were working there. They just received a big shipment of oats, and they were, you know, processing these oats. But they didn't have the safety mechanisms in place, so they were highly flammable, dust particles in the air from this device.
Okay.
And somehow or another, these floating dust particles got into the furnace, which then exploded. This is the aftermath. This is the rubble from the explosion and the fire.
Wow. I mean, this looks like somebody dropped a 500-pound bomb on it.
Oh, yeah.
Where my client's property is pretty close. What would it have felt like for them?
It felt like an earthquake. It broke out windows. It melted railroad cars. Everything within a 200-foot radius was consumed by flames.
Wow.
15 people were killed. 2 of those bodies were never recovered.
At all?
Essentially, they were just reduced to ashes. One of the bodies that was never recovered was the youngest son of the superintendent, Mr. Parks. Harold was 6. And then shortly after he died, his 10-year-old son, Hamilton, also died as a result of the explosion.
Wow.
He also had his daughter, Grace, a 19-year-old, who died a day after the accident.
That's a real tragedy.
One of the headlines referred to it as the Holocaust at Toledo.
I'm seeing people running. They're screaming. I'm just getting a lot of physical trauma. It was something that was huge. Something unexpected, something very big. Getting a big accident. Like a building collapsing on them.
There were several entities that stood out during my walk. But what has me the most concerned are the demon creatures tormenting the living.
there were three or four that came from the closet. And there was a small kid. And one of them was standing behind him.
Okay.
The nose was kind of like a pig's nose. And it had, like, fangs.
What about the build?
Very thin. Longer than average arms.
Is this what you saw?
Yes, that's what I saw.
Now that Amy and I have completed our investigations, we're ready to reveal our findings to each other and our clients for the first time.
Amy, I'd like you to meet the three ladies that live in this house. This is Maggie, this is Angie, Maggie's mom, and this is Leslie, Angie's partner. All three of them are having a tough time here, and they've experienced a lot. But the main reason we're here is for Maggie's two-year-old son, Nathan.
Aww.
Now, the ladies don't think it's safe for any of them, but they're more concerned for him. So now that Amy knows a little bit about what's going on, I'm going to ask her to tell us about her walk.
So I was outside, and I started seeing all of these dead people. They were not looking very good. It seemed like some kind of major accident that all of these people had been involved with, and they were in a lot of pain and agony. It seemed to me like some kind of collapse, like a building.
Well, it makes sense. One of the worst accidents in Toledo's history happened only half a mile from your residence here. It was an accident involving the Union Railroad where the grain elevator was operated. This is what the factory looked like. Now, back on September 21st, 1898, dust got into the boiler and boom, huge explosion. This is what it looked like after.
It looks like a war zone.
28 people were in the building. 15 died. Only 13 bodies were recovered. Two actually just burnt to a crisp. They never recovered them. The worst part of this story is the three kids that were killed because they were there visiting their father, who was the superintendent.
I saw a young boy in the staircase, and he was burnt. He was burnt all over.
I've also seen him at the top of the stairs.
Now, could these kids have come inside the house here?
Yes. They're all over the neighborhood, these people.
What else did you see on your walk?
I did meet an older male. This individual has been trying to warn you for some time. He's here to protect. He's been trying to communicate to you via literally talking to you or through dreams as well.
You told me about the old man, right?
Right. I often see him tinkering around.
We call him Clarence. We don't know if that's his real name.
Where'd you get the name Clarence from?
I don't know. I just named him it. I don't know if it came to me in a dream.
He hadn't been talking to you.
You know what kind of guy he was when he was alive?
Straightforward guy. Just told you like it was. He liked to fix problems. You know, he took charge. He took control. He was a boss. I started to have extreme pain in my head. And I knew that it was coming from him.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a guy that lived in this house. His name was Clarence.
Really?
Clarence Brown.
My God.
You didn't know that? Okay, he was 17 years old when he moved here in 1930. He lived here with his father, his mother, and his brother. Father had a printing shop in town. Depression hits and they lose everything. Clarence is a 17-year-old kid. He decided, you know what? I'm gonna start up a counterfeiting business. Right in the basement here and in the shop in Huron Street. So he employed his father, his brother, and they were printing up money to the point where it got international. He was pissed about the government not doing the right thing and helping the city. So he thought by making money and putting it into the community, it would help things. So it's 1935, the FBI busts him. They arrested everybody, his father, his brother. He said, no, it was all on me. I'm the one that came up with this whole scheme. He took the hit. And he did 2.5 out of 3.5 years he was supposed to do. So he gets out of jail, comes back, he moves back into this house. Gets married to a woman named Florence. And this is a photo. This is him and Florence when they got married. They had 3 boys and lived here. He goes straight, and he goes to work for a local printing shop. 1948, his mom, who lived in this house with him, died in the house. That's when his life kind of went for a turn. He starts getting mentally unstable. His wife tried everything, in and out of doctors, electroshock therapy. 1971, she had him committed into a mental hospital. He laid there for 26 years till he died, in 1997. Now, that head pain you were talking about, I have his death certificate. He died of cerebral atrophy. I got photos of him later on in life.
That's him right there.
So you never knew the name Clarence?
I didn't.
You're not bull me, right?
I'm not bull you. I swear.
Steve. He's been talking to her for years.
You're pretty sure you met Clarence?
Yeah.
I'm blown away myself. Makes me very emotional.
A lot of issues were going on upstairs. When I went into the bedroom to the right, it almost felt like I was suffocating. There's somebody in there who's very unhappy and lashing out. That person was a possible poltergeist agent. Their emotions were coming out in a physical way and affecting their surroundings. Objects moving without explanation and possible harm to others.
Oh my God. And that was my old room. I have really, really bad mood swings. Sometimes I can just go from being really happy to being really, really pissed off.
Is there a poltergeist here?
Absolutely.
Is she the living agent?
I don't know if she created the poltergeist, but she's definitely feeding it. It isn't a fully formed entity at this point, but it can cause a lot of chaos. When I first walked upstairs, I did see a woman get physically attacked. I saw her get lifted off the floor and dragged across the little hallway. She wasn't the only one being physically harmed.
I was held down in the bed and sexually assaulted. In that bedroom. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. I don't know how long it lasted. It seemed like it lasted forever. And when it was gone, it was gone. But I was very sick after that.
So is this poltergeist what could have attacked Angie?
Oh, no. That, I think, is something else. The older man was telling me that he had been fighting for quite some time a particular entity, but now there's more and he can't contend with them any further. They're very strange looking. They kind of have bat faces. Their mouths are kind of round and they have like very sharp teeth. They have the pointed ears. I do not think that these things were ever alive. I think they're inherently evil. One thing I noticed was someone was saying some type of religious statement, and it did make them back up. So for lack of a better word, I would say that these things are some kind of demons.
And you guys say when you pray, it stops.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Also, the closet where I saw most of these things was in the smaller room upstairs.
That's my son's room. Is it possible that he's seen him?
Yes.
Because he used to wake up with really bad nightmares. And he's been pushed in his room before.
I did do a sketch of what I saw.
Oh,
I feel sick.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, jeez. That's the thing that I see.
More than likely, that's the thing that attacked you.
The big question for me now is, are those things still in the closet?
Yes.
Sorry, baby.
I just feel guilty.
Why would you feel guilty, babe?
Just remembering him waking up and... There's just been times where I've kind of just put him back to bed in there and it just makes me feel guilty.
When I went into the child's room, I became very upset. The child in that room had very strong abilities. That child comprehended very quickly that he had these abilities, was able to manipulate his environment, and therefore began attracting the other demons to come. These things are extraordinarily dangerous, and that the older man is very concerned and feels that they are here to take souls. But their goal really is to possess him so that they can basically be able to function through him to do harm.
All the things that have happened to your son, him getting pushed and thrown, that would have been from these things?
Yes.
I worry about baby. Doesn't make me feel too good about staying here, I'll tell you that. What do we do? That's what we need to know. What do we do?
I know this is not what you wanted to hear tonight. At least you know what's going on in the house now. Well, the big question is, though, can you still stay here and raise Nathan safely? For that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy, and hopefully she'll have an answer for you.
It seems to me that what's basically going on here is that this older man is reaching out because he really feels like he failed his family. And I think he wants to protect Nathan because he sees history repeating itself. I think that the first thing that needs to be done immediately is the contact of a priest or a demonologist, someone who can perform an exorcism on the home and the property, that is just to be directed towards the negative demonic entities that are present. I want this exorcism to not incorporate the older man at all. So that needs to be stated to the priest or demonologist. The second thing that needs to be done as soon as possible, take Nathan to a child psychologist for a behavior observation. Once that's done, give it about 2 or 3 weeks. Really pay attention to his behavior. If it improves substantially, everything's good. If it does not, then he as well would need to be exorcised. And that would have to be done only by a priest. The issue with the older male. One night, Angie, I want you to go and lay in your bed. I want you to ask Clarence to come to you. Let him know that his work is done, that he did a good job, and it's time for him to go. Concerning the poltergeist phenomenon, Maggie should take up a physical but gentle form of exercise, such as yoga, tai chi, or qigong. This will help you to learn how to control your abilities. It'll also serve as an emotional release.
Guys looked pretty stunned when she said the exorcism
of the house, but especially of the baby.
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all.
I didn't either, to be honest with you, so.
We'll do what we have to do to protect him.
If, God forbid, he has to have an exorcism from a priest, what would he go through? Would it be simple?
I don't think that it's a full possession, so it would be fairly quick. He probably wouldn't even fully register, you know, what's going on. He'd probably think that this person was just praying over him. So I don't think it would be psychologically damaging in any way.
That's tough advice that she gave you. And if, God forbid, he needs an exorcism, you're going to go through that?
Well, yeah, we have to. It's...
I don't want to, but I will.
There are several dead people on Angie's property, but the demons inside pose the greatest threat. I believe if they follow my advice, they will free their home of the evil within it and be able to live a peaceful life.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.